Good evening. Hello. What's the matter? What are you up to? How are you?
Joe.
What's up?
It isn't what I want to be, so call me lazy.
Okay, do not think I'm crazy. Just telling you that our first guest, José Luis, will tell us about different ways of greetings. After that, again this week, to continue celebrating the 100th anniversary of the world's first radio broadcast to the public, we will listen to the first part of an interview to Russell Joslin, a BBC commentator. Anna, a primary teacher, will enlighten us about some aspects of teaching English to very young children. Interesting. And remember that this month's common topic for the program is travels. That's why José Luis will talk about a special kind of holidays in PortAventura. And we will also listen to Sadie in an interview about her preferences when traveling.
I know what I'm about. I'm everything I'll ever want to be. A girl like me.
As you can see, many things for a terrific program. You cannot miss a word. Oh, hope you enjoy. Till next month. Bye.
I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help, you know I need someone,
help.
Hi.
Or I should say, how do you do? Or, good day? Yo? Hey? Today, José Luis is going to tell us about different types of greetings.
Now I find a change of mind and open up the door.
Goodbye to hi and hey to catcha. The English language on the internet, and in particular that of electronic messaging, is turning into a young person's patois made up of greetings, farewells and other terms from all over the world. Dear sir, good morning and even hi have given way to the likes of yeah, good day, whatcha and what's up, and the young and happening of today no longer sign off with yours faithfully or best wishes, but with hasta la vista, cacha, in a while, and adios. Instant messaging, which is considerably faster than email, is currently the way to communicate over the internet. In the UK alone, about 45 million of these instantaneous messages are sent every day. A recent survey of British internet users has revealed that the more frequent instant message senders, the most common greeting these days is hey, a modernization of hi. Almost as popular is yo, a greeting associated with today's hip-hop culture, but which was first recorded in English in the middle of the 15th century. WhatsApp, a contraction of WhatsApp, is another of the most popular greetings. WhatsApp first entered the English language in the 1970s, originating in Jamaican patois. A recent high-profile television advertising campaign for a well-known alcoholic beverage has rapidly propelled WhatsApp into the mainstream. Today's favorite farewells are equally eclectic and include ciao, au revoir, hasta la vista, and the more homegrown see ya, catch ya, in a while, and letters. Instant messaging, with its emphasis on speed and brevity, encourages shortening and abbreviation. It is also easier to experiment and be creative with written language than with the spoken words. And today's technology means that new phrases and new uses of existing ones can go around the world in a matter of hours and can become established almost and instantaneously as they are sent. And perhaps most importantly, the internet as a social medium is the domain of the young, and it's natural for them to wish to put their stamp on it. So, if you feel awkward using your catcher and letters, then you're better off acting your age and sticking to the mundane but safe hi, best wishes, and see you soon.
What's your name?
My name is Russell Jocelyn.
And what is it that you do?
I am an English journalist. I work for a radio station.
Oh, that's interesting. When did you become a journalist?
Well, I became a journalist some 12 years ago. And I work at a local level, so it would be almost like BBC Radio apathetic.
When and how did you start working in radio?
Well, I've been a newspaper journalist for 12 years, so I've had 12 years working in newspapers and 12 years working at a variety of radio stations, most of them BBC, but some what we call commercial radio stations.
Can you tell us something about the pros and cons of radio, in your opinion?
Radio, for me, is the most important of all the mediums, more so than newspapers and television and even the internet. But that is my preference, my choice. I love it because it is immediate. If something happens, say there's an explosion or an incident, a crime happens, if you can get a reporter to the scene, you can tell the people straight away, immediate. So it's immediacy.
And any cons?
No.
Fantastic. Would you like to work in television?
No. Radio is very, very fast. Television, you have radio programs are running all the time, especially news station programs. We may have news at the top of the hour, on the hour, but programs run throughout the day. Some stations 24/7, around the clock. And you can break into a program and say, this has happened now. You inform your immediately, your listener knows what has happened. It can be very, very serious or it's very entertaining. Television, the program, the news programs are further apart. You only have two or three television news shows throughout the day. There are rolling news stations, and that is a very different prospect, but you still have to get a reporter and a camera to the scene. With radio, you can do it very quickly because you can telephone somebody who is there, and then straight on air, who can tell you what is happening whilst you are manoeuvring the reporters to the scene.
Fantastic. What do you think is the future for radio in the long term?
Probably a better question would be, what is the future of media in the long term? People, whether they are in Britain or in Spain or Africa or anywhere in the world, are curious and want to know what is going on around them. But the internet is now a massive player. It's of massive importance in the media, and it is changing the way that news is relayed. And what we call breaking news is how we tell. When Michael Jackson died, it was on the internet within 12 minutes. That is the speed with which it acts. Radio will always be there.
Yeah.
I believe, but we have to work with internet, and it has to become a part of a cohesive, it has become a major part of our broadcasting. It is a very big challenge.
Okay.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Hello, my name's Sana. I'm a primary English teacher, and I would like to speak to you about English for young learners.
Backbeat, the word is on the street that the fire in your heart is out. I'm sure you've heard it all before, but you never really had a doubt. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Most people believe that teaching or learning a foreign language at the age of 3 is something crazy. Perhaps you also think that if children are not able to speak properly in their mother tongue, how are they going to be able to speak properly in a foreign language? But I feel strongly that teaching English at the age of 3 at school, it's great, and I hope that at the end of my presentation you think the same as me. For this, I will give you some reasons to support my idea. First of all, ability. Children are supposed to be as sponges, meaning that they've got a great ability to learn anything. So why cannot we use this ability to teach them a foreign language? Of course we can. According to experts, they've got a lot of advantages. For example, they improve problem solving, they also develop social sensitivity, and furthermore, they improve at school in every subject because they've got more input. From my experience, I can say that those children who were taught English at the age of 3 have less problems than those who weren't. So, the second point would be the methodology we use to teach children. We all know that children learn by playing. So, for a while, just imagine. Imagine to learn a language just by playing games, speaking with your partner, singing songs. It's fantastic. For example, when I teach my children the traditional English song Humpty Dumpty, you know, the first line says, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. They are learning grammar and positions and so on, and they don't really realize how much they are learning. So that's perfect. And last but not least, culture. We all know that learning a foreign language is not that just so, learning a language, but also a culture. So these children will be more open-minded, and they won't believe that they are the center or the tummy of the universe, as many others think. So, as a conclusion, I can say that there are a lot of myths that are false around this theme, and that the sooner you learn a language, the better you do it in the future. So that's all. Thank you for your attention.
Why not a quick trip to Port Aventura? Having children has its pros and cons. It's very good to have a child 10 years or under when jostling for pole position in an airline queue. It's better not to be a parent if you're not a big theme park fan, because kids love them. Then again, so do most adults. The scarier the ride, the more they love it, the more garish the park, the more often they want to visit. Tacky is tasteful. Tasty food is tacky. Port Aventura. This is a big one that teenagers and kids all enough to whiten the knuckles will just laugh. Big scary rides, vast themed areas, a Mediterranean climate appropriate to northern Spain, and numerous familiar film characters strolling around. In the park, on a post-gauge stamp, divided into five geographically themed worlds, this million square meter site is located close to Barcelona and the southern Spanish town of Reus. The park is themed with Universal Studios characters, from the Pink Panther to Woody Woodpecker, Betty Boop to Shrek. And visitors will find themselves enjoying the sights, sounds and tastes of the tropics of Polynesia 1 minute, at the Great Wall of China the next, meeting like cowboys in the far west, running amid rains in Mayan Mexico, or enjoying a Mediterranean climate in Mediterranean. In addition to the scary rides, over 100 shows and performances take place daily, from Chinese acrobats to Polynesian dancing, a Wild West adventure show to performance by Woody Woodpecker and his amigos. Port Aventura also has its own Caribbean aquatic water park and 3-4-star hotels, themed in Mediterranean, Mexican or Caribbean style. Strange fact. 30,000 species of vegetation can be found at PortAventura. How much? 7 consecutive day adult pairs online for the price of 3, £46. Child over 10 years, £37. 14 consecutive day adult pairs online, £52. Child over 10 years, £42. Both passes offer 20% of admissions into Caribe Aquatic Water Park, which in high season costs 19 euros per adult, 15 euros and 50 cents per child. Harry Hightolite, Hurricane Condor, falls of nest, guest up 328 feet to free fall 282 feet. Happily, it's unique in the world. Dragon Can is the only roller coaster in the world with 8 loop-de-loops, claimed to be Europe's largest. Expect to travel at speeds up to 110 kilometers per hour. The best soak. The Turkish Plus in Polynesia. Launch yourself down a hillside in a boat.
So hello, today we have Sadie with us, and she's going to tell us about her trips, right? Okay, so hello Sadie.
Hello.
Okay, can you tell us what's your all-time favorite destination?
I do believe it was when I went to Paris, because there are so many things to see in Paris.
All right, okay. And what's your top travel tip?
I always like to pack a spare change of clothes on my take-on luggage. Very important.
Mm-hmm. What about your companion? What's your ideal traveling companion?
A great book.
All right. And who would you least like to travel with?
I would least like to travel with someone who always needs...
Snores.
Snores, okay. Yes.
That's right.
Yes, that's good.
Okay, for instance. Okay, what is your favorite holiday reading material?
During the holidays, I don't like to read as much as I like to watch The Christmas Story.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And what's your preferred holiday time?
A laid-back holiday with friends and family.
Right. And what are your top three list of places you want to see before you die?
I'd like to go to China and to India and down to Machu Picchu.
All right, sounds interesting, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay, you would never get on a plane without?
The newest copy of Cosmo.
The newest copy of?
Cosmo.
Oh, really?
A magazine.
Are you a fan of Cosmo?
I think it's funny.
Okay, what's your earliest holiday memory?
When I was little and my brothers got a Nintendo 64, and I was terribly upset because I didn't get one.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. But did you have a chance to play with it, or?
After they got tired of it.
Okay, as usual. Okay, what's your favorite holiday memory?
My favorite holiday memory was the last one I spent at home with my parents.
Right.
And my whole family.
Okay, that's right. And when were your trip highs and lows?
My trip high is always when I get off of the plane and my luggage is there.
Terrific.
And low would be when I get off the plane and my luggage is not there.
Okay. You wish you could speak
Chinese,
yeah. Okay.
It's very hard, I hear.
Right. Okay, and finally, your idea of paradise is?
California. Maybe. I'd like to drive
beaches, yeah.
drive out to California for a little while.
Or something.
Yeah. It'd be nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Okay, thank you very much, Sadie.
You're very welcome.
Okay, and see you sometime.
Excellent.
Bye.
Bye.